Chapter 22, Penthouse Visitor.
"Harry, this isn't looking good," said an older man in an expensive suit. He sat across from another man dressed in business casual attire, the man's blonde hair combed to perfection, matching his perfectly trimmed thin beard. Beads of sweat ran down his temple. Shifting in his seat, he cleared his throat.
"I don't know what to say. I did the best I could. You didn't give me enough time."
"This was one of our biggest buyers," the older man interrupted, sliding a stack of papers across the desk. An executive office such as this had a spectacular view. The entire wall behind the older man was glass, overlooking a gorgeous cityscape. The night, speckled with lights from other skyscrapers, buildings, and hover cars going to and fro over the street. From this high up, one could see for miles. Harry didn't feel in the mood for taking in the sights.
"Our profit margins are going to take a huge hit with this one. I don't know what you were thinking, taking on this huge a project."
Harry sat forward in his chair, looking like he was going to burst a blood vessel in his eyes.
"What do you mean? You told me to do this. You told me this would be a good idea, that this could be the break I needed."
He shook his head, looked betrayed, and his lip quivered slightly. The older man, too, shook his head.
"I made a suggestion. You made the call."
He pointed his wrinkled, crooked finger at him when he emphasized the word "you." Harry sat back in his chair, clasping his hands together like a dinner-time prayer and taking a deep breath. His eyes stared into the distance as he breathed through the space in his hands. The older man matched him, sitting back in his chair with a resolute look on his face.
"And this is not the first time you've dropped the ball."
"Now wait a minute, sir."
Harry leaned forward again.
"I asked McGibbon about that. Each time I've been late on a deadline, for some mysterious reason, there's been a holdup on essential paperwork. Not on my end. And it's the same department every time. It holds the entire project up. I can't be expected to..."
"We're letting you go, Harry."
Harry stopped talking, looking horrified.
"What in the..."
He scooted back. The older man scoffed and shook his head.
"Don't be dramatic. It's not the end of your life. It's a job."
The glass broke behind the older man, and a gloved hand wrapped tightly around his neck. He choked and scratched at the hand as the attacker lifted him by his neck into the air. Harry fell backwards out of his chair. Cold night air blasting through the shattered window, bits of glass swirling across the floor and out into the night. His entire body expanded as his skin turned jagged and sharp. The attacker dropped him, and he smashed the wooden desk on the way down. Harry jumped up, and his hands stuck to the ceiling. He kicked off his shoes, and his feet stuck as well. Crawling as fast as he could, he scurried out the window and was gone. The man made of rock swiveled around and punched the attacker in the stomach. He tripped backwards, grabbing the window on his left and right, but they shattered, and he fell. It was quiet. Rising to his feet, the rock man stepped on another portion of the desk, and it crunched under the weight of him.
"Whoops,"
he muttered, making his way toward the window. Wind continued sending shards of glass and wood both further in and outside the open window. Reaching the hole, he leaned over the side, keeping one leg far back for balance. The assassin stood on the side of the wall, holding Harry by the neck. Harry squirmed and struggled, kicking the man as hard as he could. Harry's now unsocked foot touched the glass and he stuck to it. He strained and pulled, even sticking his other bare foot onto the window, but it merely cracked. The man's grip on his neck remained firm.
"What do you want?"
the rock man screamed. His voice was lower and gruffer than it usually was. Without answer, the man tossed Harry upwards like he weighed nothing.
Harry flew past the window, stopped rising, and then began falling again. As the rock man reached out to grab him, thumps sounded below him on the windows as the man jumped straight up, but sideways as if gravity was pulling him in the wrong direction. He curled up in a ball, rotating back like he was doing a backflip, and sprung his body straight as a pencil, kicking the rock man with both feet right on the jaw, just as he was about to reach Harry. The force of the kick shattered the surrounding windows in a small radius and cracked the windows behind them. The rock man went soaring, tearing through three floors, cutting through like cardboard. He finally slowed and got stuck halfway through the concrete of the rooftop. Below, Harry fell faster and faster, doing everything short of flapping his wings to reach the building. Something in his peripheral view caused him to snap out of his hysteria as the assassin was moving right with him, running down the side of the building like it was a race. All of a sudden, he jumped, raising his fist like he was about to bring down a hammer. The man rocked Harry in the stomach with a downward fist, and Harry went crashing through the glass like a bowling ball, ripping man-sized holes through 23 cubicles before slowing down and being stopped by the opposite wall. The man stood over his body and held his finger against his neck for a few moments. Feeling a pulse, he nodded and moved on, leaving Harry and the office around him looking like wrapping paper after Christmas morning. In the executive office, on the top floor, the rock man pried himself from the ceiling and came crashing down, obliterating the long wooden conference table as he landed. It split down the middle, flying up each side like a rake being stomped on.
Oh, crap. I'm gonna lose my job for this.
The heater kicked on in the dark office, making a low rumbling sound. The rock man stepped to the side, lifted his foot, and the desk came crashing down with a loud crack. The dark room suddenly illuminated bright red.
What?
The rock man whispered. Outside the glass windows hung the assassin, eyes glowing blood red. He stuck his hand on the window and crawled up, swinging his legs back to smash the window. The way he stuck to the window was too similar to how Harry sticks to walls. The rock man scowled.
This guy's a mimic, he grumbled.
Without a moment's hesitation, he took off running at full speed toward the window.
Well, he can't mimic my talent.
He launched himself out the window, tackling nothing. He grabbed thin air, now soaring out the night sky like a rocket. Briefly screaming, he swung his arms, flipping himself over just in time to see the windows of the skyscraper ripple like a rock being dropped into a pond. Something launched off the building like a bullet, and every single window on the entire skyscraper shattered into a million pieces. It looked like a missile hit the executive building. Before he even had time to process what just happened, the assassin collided with his stomach, launching them both toward the pavement at nearly 700 miles per hour. Both of them crashed into the road, causing several hover cars to swerve out of the way. Red and blue lights began flashing around them as police drones surrounded the scene.
Elites! Freeze!
A voice shouted through the speakers on the drones as lights illuminated the entire crash scene. Three drones hovered just above the ground, making a semicircle around the dust cloud that was rising and filling the street. A fire hydrant burst, and the water sprayed in a geyser above the dust cloud. Long silence followed, as a group of six men and women, dressed in dark blue uniforms, stood at the ready. The cold air didn't help the tense mood, as a radio on one of their shoulders announced the backup was minutes away. Just enough time for every single unit in that squad to die a horrific death, if the threat was dangerous enough. At least four of the six officers were sweating bullets, talents at the ready. Electricity danced in the fingers of one, flames from the palms of the other. Another let his feet sink into the dirt, covering his legs with a gravel shield. Headlights converged on one spot as a quick, sharp crunch broke the silence. All but one exchanged a glance,
A red-headed officer walked forward, nodding to the others. He made a hand gesture, pointing to two officers. They nodded back and got to work. The officer, using the ground as a partial suit of armor, raised his leg and stomped, causing a sheet of stone to fly upward, just in time for the other officer, wearing actual body armor, to step forward and catch it. It looked like the wing of a plane, and it was so large that the officer carrying it looked like a child in comparison. The officer walked forward and swung the wide sheet of stone downward like a fan, slamming it on the concrete. The sheet smashed into a million pieces, but the swing did the trick. The wind from the sheet blew the dust back, quickly revealing a set of glowing red eyes. Three quick beeps from a drone hovering above, and every officer shot back a step.
"Abram, cover!"
the red-headed officer barked. The earth-moving officer stomped the ground. The earth began to rise in a large section in front of the elite officers. A rectangular barrier now separated them from their high-tier assailant. It had spikes along the outside wall, making it nearly impossible to safely break through.
"Dispatch, this is Red Squad. We have a high-tier assailant, possibly Titan, requesting backup,"
red-haired officer said into his radio. "Copy that, Red Squad," the radio answered. "Backup already dispatched. Reaching your position within a minute. Do you have a description of the assailant's talent set?" A gust of wind blew a cloud of dust over the dirt wall.
"We don't. We took cover when the drone said high tier."
"Copy that. Imaging and scan processing now." The man with the red hair walked to the edge of the cover and peeked his head over as the others knelt, watching him closely. He paused for a second, scanning the scene. Slowly he stood, looking confused.
"Red Squad, do not engage," the radio said, breaking the silence. "I repeat, do not engage. Scan indicates current power levels peaking in the high 80s. This is beyond our jurisdiction. Requesting Titan support. Requesting Titan support. Stand down. I repeat, stand down and find cover."
"Dispatch? Dispatch," the leader said. "He's gone."
"Come again?"
the voice said over the radio. "He just disappeared." Blue lasers flashed in every direction as small drones scanned the scene. The blue lasers turned yellow and all focused on a man in the center of the clearing.
"Proceed with caution. Assailant might be using illusory talents. Nearby Titan support is on their way."
The six officers walked slowly to a body in the center of the clearing.
"Dispatch, send a med drone. We have a possible casualty."
There in the center was a man partially transformed into rock. Parts of his body were made of large chunks of stone. Others were skin.
"Jeez," one of the officers said. "This guy's half-shifted. Broke his neck mid-transformation."
The whole street slowly became illuminated with yellow as dozens of construction drones converged on the scene. Small, circular, flying robots about the size of a basketball buzzing around like bees. They began shooting red lasers at the debris, smoke rising as it reduced the smaller rebel to dust. Other yellow robots walked on foot to the larger boulders and began picking them up and piling them toward the side of the road. The red-haired officer shook his head. The red-haired officer shook his head, waving his hands.
No, get these things out of here. They aren't supposed to be here. They'll contaminate the crime scene."
The officers began to shoo away the drones and mechs. The drones immediately buzzed away, remaining behind the holographic yellow lines until further instructions. The mechs, on foot, dropped the boulders with attitude, shrugged their shoulders, and walked away. One of them even kicked a boulder into a car on its way out. When an officer began to yell, it started walking twice as fast, ignoring the officer and pretending it didn't happen. The red-haired officer took a long, deep breath, kneeling down to look at the body.
"Johnson."
"Sir?" a younger officer said, kneeling beside him. "What animal can kill a great white shark?"
"I don't know, sir,"
Johnson said.
"A bigger shark,"